3313. Y'all hear me?
Yeah.
All right. Good. Hallelujah. Hit me with the numbers. How long have we been married? 38, 37. Seems like more than that. I'm almost always traveling with a team of our guys. I'm not this time. This time it's my wife and I. And I'm going to apologize to you up front. I haven't been in the United States for a while. It's my first American service. So if my English is a little bit unusual, live with it. Been pure Spanish and Portuguese and German and French. So, well, y'all need to meet Miss Hogan. Stand up, Miss Hogan, will you? Yeah. I tell you right now, she's a blessing. We've been married a long time. And plan to stay that way. All right, here's the deal. I grew up not far from here. Other side of Shreveport. To me, that's not far. Because I actually travel the whole wide world now. This year, I was in all the five inhabited continents. I preached all over all of them. And, boy, I tell you, God's moving. Now, the devil's alive. Things are bad. Scary. Crisis. Everything's frightening. But I'm not going, that's not my deal. I see it. I know what's happening around me. It just don't affect my life. So, I'm not going to get along with you if you live in a fear pit. But I will get along with you if you love Jesus, so we'll see about that. All right, our work is big anymore, y'all. It didn't used to be. It used to be really just a small thing, and but just all of a sudden, the last 32 years, it grew up, and it's we're really big. From the time you leave, actually right here in South Texas, till you get into Guatemala, you stay in our work the whole way now. It's big. It's like 1,200 miles across it now. I'm never home anymore. I'm traveling all the time. Even in Mexico now, just to go to church sometimes it's a 2-day or 3-day deal. And it's nice. I want to do something before I get going here. Like I said, I grew up real close here, similar type people as y'all. I'm looking around and y'all look like some of my kin folks, I guess. And dress like them and talk like them and everything else. So, so you're not going to bother me, I can tell you that. But I might bother you because I've been gone for a while. And I've noticed that a few things that's done around these parts is wrong. We have to follow Jesus. Because there's two things that I have found out by traveling the whole wide world. Kin folks and friendship is not the Holy Ghost. Jesus is. One of my young missionaries called me a while ago. I was getting ready to come over here. I was bathing and he called. I had to take the call because he buried his daddy today. He's from Alabama. They're actually playing Texas in the deal here. Don't remember even when it's going to happen, but I sure hope I get to see it. I noticed he had on an Alabama sweatshirt over there in the corner. You're either very courageous or really a nut. One. I noticed there's a Tennessee sweatshirt back there, too. Yeah. So, But you know that boy, he called me up. You know what he said to me? He told me, thank you, Brother David. He said, you're mean. I am. He said, you're tough. I'm that too. He said, but I came back up here to Alabama, Huntsville, where he was from. He graduated from Alabama, so he's rooting for the other team from y'all. And he said, I wouldn't have been able to stand like I stood. He said, everybody around me, the kin folks, because he went straight up and laid his hands right on his daddy. It's one thing he's learned from us. It's to lay hands on the dead, because you don't know if they're coming back. Because God's powerful. He can do whatever he wants to do. He laid his hands on his daddy. His daddy did not come back from the dead, so they buried him today. And he said, thank you. He said, everything, he's been with me now about 7 years. And he said, thanks for making me tough. He said, because education failed me. His daddy was wealthy. He said, money failed us. He said, but the strength of the Holy Ghost that you put in me for the last 7 years has made me strong. See, that's what matters. And I like that. All right, I have been in some of the largest works in the world. I'm invited to the biggest churches there are. I was in a church not long ago. It's got 1 million people in it. That's big. Absolutely. You can't lay hands on one at a time. No matter how many there are. God don't just sweep them. You got a job ahead of them. So we got lots of things to talk about. I know y'all are clock oriented folks. And normally. My Indians aren't. We usually have long services. So hopefully I don't bore you. If I do, just say, hey, stop. Let's pray or something. But now here's what's going on. We're at war. Hear me? And I plan on winning. And the deal is, it don't matter how many people we lose. It matters that Jesus is glorified. Do you understand that terminology? Okay. And so let's go over here to Acts. I've been in, like I said, we had some amazing services there in Australia and Africa and Europe and Asia. So basically, we can talk about any kind of miracle you want to. It don't matter what kind. We've seen them healed lately. But I want to start right here because there's a pretty phenomenal thing. I was in a series of meetings in Germany a few months ago. I like those people, man. They're wild. I like them. They're smart. They're per capita the most intelligent people I've ever been around. And man, you tell them the truth, somehow it affects them, and they can get healed. It's to me easy to get them healed. I don't have the trouble other people have with it. I was in a meeting there in a place. And it's south Stuttgart, Germany, south central, right by the Black Forest. And there was close to 1,000 folks, I guess. It was pretty happening, hopping deal. Fire was falling everywhere, and it was wonderful. It's one of them things that you wish would never stop. And the Holy Ghost fell in there. You know, I didn't know it because I'm busy. I talk, and then I start praying for people and just, you know, try to get every kind of sickness there is. Everybody comes up here and tries. See, here's the thing. All right, this is, and I'm not trying to offend you, but I'm real good at it. Really, I really don't go out of my way to offend people. It just is natural for me. It just seems there's something about me that challenges everything about everybody. And I do want that if it's God, but sometimes it's boring because you're alone a lot, you know? yeah. But in one meeting, like, think about this. There was 112 instant miracles. All right, everything. Diabetes, glaucoma, rheumatoid arthritis, everything. Just everything. Cancers, open wounds, healed. I'll be telling you about some of that stuff. It's amazing. I like it. But you've got to understand that it's not a person. It is Jesus. See, I don't dress like what y'all are used to with these fancy guys. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm blessed. You hear me? I am a blessed man. I get to run around with presidents and kings. And man, it's nice. I'm serious. These are handmade boots. I had them handmade just to go to the White House so I could meet, pray for our President Bush when he was in office. And see, it's important that you let God use you. Because you might, I work with Indians. Very poor. Man, what a wonderful job I have. I can't express to you, my wife and I, we are blessed. God spoke to me when I was a kid, and I went and did what he asked me to do, and I've been there ever since, and now I get to traipse around all over the whole planet doing stuff. Powerful stuff. I mean, amazing. You hear me? I'm sure. I'm positive he wants to touch you. I was in a meeting. I'd heard about all this stuff, this gold and silver and diamonds and all this stuff in these meetings. It just shows up. Sometimes you never know. It's all over my preaching Bible. It's just covered in it still. I go to meetings and it just happens. You don't know why. I don't know why. I don't care why. I don't even care if it's real. I don't. No, serious. I don't care if it's gold. I don't care if it's plastic. I just know it wasn't there and it's there. And that's pretty amazing. But I was in this service in Mexico City the other day. Now, Mexico City is the largest city in the world. It's 33 million folks, and it's big. You fly across it in a jet for 10 minutes when you're landed. It's people just far. You can't, man. So we have all these churches starting up there now, and I tried my best to stay away from there because it'd take 1,000 men and a whole lifetime to evangelize it. That's all right. We'll do it. Se concierte, huh? And I'm there, right? It's the last night. It's my last meeting. There's all these powerful folks. All these powerful folks preaching, and I got a couple of shots myself. And all of a sudden, I started hearing it sounded like hail. You know, you've been in a hail storm? I know you have around here. Whop! You know how it first starts before it all hits and you're running for cover? You start hearing it pop. You know what? I started looking around because we was in a building. It was diamonds falling out of the sky. And rubies. No. Yeah, the red ones. Yeah. Bet that'll float your boat. These weird things happen. Do not put your attention on the weird things. God, if you let him do whatever he wants to and you keep loving him for who he is and not for what he's done, he'll keep doing it. You hear me? That's important. All right. They gave me some of that stuff and I put it on my desk every now and then I look at it. That was a good day. But there was something really fascinating that's happened that I think it would interest you. Over here in Acts chapter 19, this is a thing that these handkerchiefs that I just use them for because I perspired. I wipe the sweat off and wipe my nose and everything. And where I live and work in Mexico, we work in the woods in the jungle, and it's usually hot. Carry a handkerchief, wipe the moly and the different things off, and But something has happened. God started coming through these clothes. Like he did with Paul right here in Acts 19. I'm going to read it to you. And you may not have, y'all, I don't know what you do. This is my first time to ever see y'all. Well, some of y'all I've seen you before. But if you have a handkerchief or a cloth or a shoe or something, we're going to do this in a minute. Right in verse 11, it says, God did. Say that with me. Say it again. It's no man doing things. It's God doing things. Yeah, I know to you it seems like I'm relaxed. It's because I am. I never met you in my life. I don't fear you. You better understand. I was just down there the other day with guns in my face. These people are going to kill us. Everything else. And I just looked at them and said, look, dudes. I mean, come on. Y'all have tried this so many years. You're just not going to be successful. They cannot kill you if God's not finished with you. You don't have a thing to worry about. You're going to be fine. Not with their food, their witchcraft, their weapons, their money, their power, nothing. See, God did unusual and extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. So that handkerchiefs are tied. This is amplified. That all right with you? Okay. I hope it is. I didn't bring another one. I'd have to go back to the room, get my computer, and use. It's got like 20 different versions or something. So that Paul did God did extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, and unusual, and handkerchiefs, towels, or aprons would touch his skin. Now, you know what? It's not about Paul's skin. It's about the anointing. And when you get past all this thing about putting up altars and esteeming men and things and all of that, and when you actually believe in the anointing of God and God's power, he can use anything he wants to. It absolutely don't make any difference what it is. I've been studying Elijah and Elisha a lot because I'm into what they did. I like it. And I just read, it might have been yesterday morning, it could have been this morning, about the meal and the salt and all that, what Elisha did. You know, it's not the meal, it's not the salt. It's representation of God's who he is and what he wants to be and what he wants to do with us humans. See? It's easy. You see it's easy for me? It's because it is for everybody. And so anyway, they were carrying these things off his skin, you know, and put it on the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. So what I'd like for you to do, if you have a cloth or a shoe or a tie or a coat or a sweater or something, bring it up here and put it over here if you want to. And what we'll do is we'll pray for it. For somebody in your home sick, or maybe this crisis got you stressed out a little bit, or the politics, or all these things, just put it right over here. You know, you can just sit and throw it down here somewhere. Don't be offended at me stepping on it, because I'm going to walk on it. And it works. As all I know to tell you is it works. If y'all gonna come back out here tomorrow night, bring you another piece of cloth or something. And I'm fixing to tell you a story that's gonna scare you probably. Just throw it down here, and some of that stuff I like, I'm gonna probably take some of it, if it's all right. No, I'm kidding. It wouldn't fit me anyway, so. I had this whacked out woman in Oklahoma one time. She came up there and ripped one of my pockets of my shirt off. I didn't like that. But it doesn't matter if I like it or not. If she'd have waited, I'd have given her the whole shirt. I didn't like the shirt. So I had to end up getting rid of it. So anyway. Okay. You know, I was down here in a big old church in Houston a while back. There was a stack of clothes. It was like 4 or 5 feet tall, big old thing, about 8 feet wide. I ran, dove in the middle of it, and went in circles, and that was so many miracles happened out of that thing. It was like hundreds of them. It was nice. Okay, now this here is not part of my punched in thing, clock deal. This, all right. Okay. Everybody? Hello?
All right.
Well, I don't see them. They might get cold, though, so I'm going to put their coats up there. See, everybody wants to stress out. Listen, the Holy Ghost comes. Listen to me. We've been in revival for a long time. Y'all, our work. There ain't every day. There's dozens of famous miracles take place. Every day. Everything. Blind, lame, dead, everything. Every day. Okay. Now, turn over with me. Y'all, is that everybody wants to do that? Turn over here to Hebrews. And while you're turning, I'm going to tell you the story. I did not know it was going to happen. And so I'm not responsible, see? I was over there a couple of years ago in Europe. I like running around in Europe over there. Man, oh man, those people are so like you got thousands of year-old demon spirits that think they're in charge. And you just like to run around over there and mess with them and make them all mad and everything, and I like it. Because there ain't absolutely nothing they can do to me unless they get heaven's permission. And he ain't willing to do that because he likes me. So we're friends, that's fine. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost. I like it. You like it? There's this thing running up down me. It's like my wife has this thing. It steams the clothes, and you can feel the heat going up and down. That's what it feels like. That's nice. Holy Ghost. I guess I should throw some fancy names on y'all so y'all would think I got credentials. My back end's fixing to show up. You ain't going to need no names from then on, honey. There's these angels that run around with us. Them boys are bad. I'm serious. It's awesome. Pretty nice. Holy Ghost. Well, I was over there. Have y'all heard of a place called Belarus, Russia? I had never heard of it before a few years ago. So I met these people. They're really energetic folks. I'd call them wild. And lots of people think I am. But I'm decided. So to a person that's not decided, I would probably seem wild then. And so they come there, and I didn't know it. What happened was there's a ministry that I work with that we're pretty close with. They're very powerful. They was part of the Argentine revival, and they're good people. And they got like, I don't know, 40 nations. They're running big work, and I like being part of it. So we're hooked up, you know. So I'm over there doing a conference with them, and and they tell me about this new work they started in Belarus. Well, I didn't know what they were saying. I didn't know if Belarus wasn't something to eat. I'm not that ignorant on geography either, but come to find out it's a whole nation of people. And it's in northern Europe on the Baltic up there. And I didn't know it, but I went up there and I was part of it. But, there's these demons. Let's see, what's her name? Thor, and there's another one. What's that other one? That other devil? Thor. What's his daddy's name? Odin! Well, they're cowards. Those two. Just officially tell you that. If you're ever up there, tell them I said so. If you know Jesus, I mean, you better. Because otherwise, they may not be cowards. But these people all have AIDS, right? And I didn't know it. Outside of Africa, I didn't know this, but I do now. I got lots of information. You travel like I do, you get information. Comes to you just by itself. That flight that got hit, 253 by on Northwest, I was on that flight a few months ago. The same one from Amsterdam to Detroit. Isn't that amazing? Life's close, boy. You better know the Holy Ghost. So anyway, they told me that I didn't know this. I did not know this because I live in another part of the world and I work in another part of the world. And I have stuff about where I live. There are cities, some of them over 1 million people, that are not even on the maps because they have plagues and they don't want the rest of the world to know about it. In one of these cities, these people that I work with in Germany went there, and that God led them to this city that's not on the map. And there are no bridges across the rivers because the government wants them. It's like a prison, actually, even though it's a city, because of the diseases. You didn't know that, did you? I didn't. You could have given me one of those theories that, you know, possibly it could be happening, conspiracy deals. I'd have probably went along with you and thought it's possible, but now I know it to be true. So here's what happened. The pastor, my friend, he goes across the river on a boat. They wouldn't let him take his car on the barge because he's a German. He goes in there, and it's like one of these movies, man, like serious, where it's out of control, the law is in the hands of the people, that kind of thing. And it's totally dominated by this demon, this AIDS demon, and drugs, seriously violent people. So they got them saved, some of them. You see, I'm talking about these are upper middle class folks, Germans, highly educated people. And they got these street people saved. All of them have AIDS 100%, or tuberculosis, or both, and other diseases that go along with all that. You with me? Anybody? And so they told them, if y'all can make your way down to our conference, Brother David's going to be there, and it's guaranteed you'll be healed. Well, the deal is, I just don't know how you can guarantee somebody that I'm going to heal them. If all of them's dying with AIDS, that's a little bit of pressure. This is not mine. So let me think about it. Nope, I'm not going to take it. So I don't worry about it. So here's what happened. They brought their leader, their leadership, because of the power of God in these people's lives getting saved, the radical change that came on these drug addicts and these prostitutes and all these people, it was a massive revival took place. I'm talking hundreds and hundreds of street people getting saved, and the government started helping them, and I mean, it's a big deal now. All right? It is a good thing. All right. So, the leadership comes down because the reason they asked the entire leadership of their team in Belarus to come down was because it had turned over 100% already once. Everybody that was in leadership died because everybody's infected with AIDS. All right. So now I get the new leadership, the younger Christians. The older Christians were like 2 years old in the Lord. So I got the young ones now, the new leadership. They're about a year old in the Lord, something like that. And they're running this whole big work. Isn't that awesome? So I'm wondering how long you're going to sit in that chair. How much you need before you're going to do something for God. What's it going to take? So, all right, they're lined up as a whole stack of them, right? I don't know, 20 or 30 of them. And every one of them are dying with AIDS, tuberculosis, and these diseases, serious stuff. And I had one of these handkerchiefs. And the leader comes up there. He says, real funny English, give me your handkerchief. I said, no, this is my handkerchief. How am I going to wipe my nose and sweat off me if I ain't got no handkerchief? He said, that is not my problem. I said, I knew that. But it is my problem. So here's what happened. We had a big long fight, and he stole it from, took it from me. It was more of them, even though they was weak with age, they still was overpowered at it. So I let them have it anyway. Now then, this is the deal. As soon as they took my handkerchief, we prayed for them, bang, they all get knocked out. Okay, they took a handkerchief. Now get this, the regular old Walmart or Cavender, I don't know where she gets my junk from. And they carried this thing, that's a regular old handkerchief. Regular old made in USA or, wait, China maybe by now. And this one is China. And because when Sam Walton died, they went away from that USA made stuff. That's why you shouldn't cry about not having a job if you ain't going to boycott Walmart. I know what I just said. Ain't none of y'all can't live. Like the other day at Christmas, Walmart closed. The only day they closed. All right. The whole place ground to a halt. The people, I'm talking about missionaries that I work with, are just sitting there fidgety. What's the matter with you? Walmart's closed. One day. I'm looking at them. What do you think we did before Walmart, you reckon? We survived. I seem to be healthy. All right, here's the deal. Watch. So they cut this thing. He went back to Belarus. And he took a regular old handkerchief, right? And they cut it up into little bitty pieces, less than an inch. 1 centimeter, like a little bit less than a half an inch, right? Pieces, little bitty, lots of them. Why did they do that? You don't know why. It's a good question. All right. Because they needed a bunch of pieces. So they carried it. Weird, huh? I don't know why God would use me either, so don't worry. I'm serious. I wouldn't. Miss Hogan would. She thinks I'm bionic, that lady. And who knows, I may be. So what happened was they cut this thing up into all these little bitty pieces, and they carried it around and gave it to all these people in their ministry, right? 100% healing. Wow. That's pretty good. The government, it was so many people got healed of AIDS, the government had to ask. So how are you going to explain this to the government? Oh, that was a handkerchief. Oh, really? Where'd it come from? China. Oh, let's go to China. Woo! It's not China. It's not cloth. It's Jesus. Woohoo! You know what? If it looks like I'm in shape, it's because I am. The 23rd, which was a couple of days ago, I ran 15 miles and rode my bicycle. 22. I did a biathlon. It was great. How about that? The rest of them was doing, they did a marathon, and I did a biathlon. So there you go now. Moving along. Did y'all make it to Hebrews? That's not the end of the story, but y'all probably bored with it, huh? There was one more person. He had rheumatoid arthritis, tuberculosis, and AIDS. All of it advanced. He's in the final stages in the hospital. Doctors have quit on him. This is in Belarus. They went up there with the last piece of that handkerchief. It was a little bitty piece left. And they went in there and the doctor let them go in because the doctors had been in on some of these healings. So they walked in with this littlest old bitty piece of handkerchief left. And they laid it on this guy. He's in a coma, right? He's dying. He got all these diseases. He's just there. So they're there praying in tongues. And I don't know. Did y'all do that? Okay. And so you can't believe the trouble I get into by believing God. I'm serious. We actually use the Bible as our handbook, and that makes people mad at us. Holy Ghost. And in the morning, because, you know, people get sleepy, they try to stay awake, all this vigilant stuff, and all of a sudden they wake up in the morning, and the dude's sitting up on the bed, he's completely healed. And the doctors came in. It is a phenomenon that they put on television because... Is anybody related to any kind of medical in here? Do you understand that with tuberculosis? All right, with tuberculosis, they tapped his spine and drawed the blood, and it was black already. So what does that tell you? That's it. Kaput, yeah, it's over. Well, in the morning, the doctors come in there, and the man's up, healed, hungry, and they can't find. They tried to find tuberculosis, arthritis, and AIDS for a couple of days, completely healed. And I asked them. So I asked them, this is good. This is a good thing. So I asked them why this guy was so important to him. And he was the leader of all of their music for the whole Europe deal. So he had to be healed, you know. So he was. That's good, huh? I think it's good. Heaven thought it was good. He did it. Okay. So y'all in Hebrews? Okay, we're going to start now. So is this your paper clip?
That's it.
All right, found it for you. Good. Hebrews chapter 4. You all right, Miss Hogan? I'm sorry, I'm not scared. Hebrews chapter 4. Now, when we first went to Mexico, I was puro gringo, boy. I had never eaten a jalapeno in my life. I had never eaten a tortilla in my life. I had never eaten a black bean in my life. So I was green as they come. But I had one thing going for me. The Holy Ghost invited me. The Holy Ghost invited me. I was doing really good. I was an oil field worker. I made lots of money. Things was good for me and my wife. Oh, it was nice. I got saved. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Our lives changed. God invited us to preach the gospel. I went into all the prisons, the hospitals, the all kinds of stuff. Man, it was fun. I was having a blast. And then one day I was there praying. I didn't know how, but I was sitting in a chair trying to figure out how to pray. And this thought came to my mind. The thought was Mexico. So I wrote it down. I didn't even know where it was at. That's goofy. I know that. But that's American. So I hunted it up. And then we kept praying and kept praying. And God asked me to go to Mexico. I did not know why. All I knew was I was invited by the King. So, wow. That's a good deal. So I went. So I went, and I stayed. He's never asked me to leave. And we ain't got quite 1,000 churches yet, but we're just about there. Not quite 200,000 folks are saved. Not quite 500 people have been raised from the dead. Every disease has been healed. Every part of the human body has been either healed or recreated. So it makes you confident like you see me. Understand? It makes you confident. It does. And now, I eat chilies and black beans and tortillas. Y son muy buenos y Cristo vive. Hallelujah. Yeah. And it's a blessing. I grew up in the Bible Belt here, a little bit further east. right out of the delta of the Mississippi. My parents were pastors, my grandparents, and my great-grandparents. And so I'm fourth generation. Great heritage. Things are good. But heritage, grandma's dumplings, can't help me. It's faith in the name of Jesus that helps me. I'm serious. I was really bored with church. When I grew up as a kid, I got really mad at the church because people lied that went there. So it put me out. I went outside and left. I went and joined the gangs of the late 60s, and that's right before the drugs hit and all that. So right there in Vietnam, I was drafted, all of that, the whole deal. But then Jesus came out there and got me out of that. Dressed me up pretty good and got me a job and invited me to Mexico. And so that's where I've been lately, for the last 32 years. And then he invited me around the world. I was just in Africa. I saw with my own eyes do y'all know MIT? Do you know Yale? Do you know Harvard? You know Brown universities? Okay, these are all Ivy deals up there, real famous smart people. There was a team of doctors with us from these universities. They were the cream of that world's crop. And they were sent with us to verify whether what we was doing was real or not. We scared them. You ain't got no clue how fun it is to mess with them people. Because they are the smartest, most brilliant people, but they can't comprehend my world. There's nothing in their logic and education that makes allowances for what Jesus can do. Because their science is man intellect limited. But my God don't have no limit. So it don't matter what I'm involved in, what's around me, how drastic, how dynamic, how powerful, how negative. Jesus is King. I love this. What I'm fixing to tell you is excitable. Because most people from this environment is afraid of that environment. I have overcome that fear. Yes. Yes. I mean it. Do you know Miss Heidi Baker? She's a really good friend. That's where I was at, Mozambique. Oh, wow. And we was together, so this has got to be serious. She's wacko. And I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. Woohoo! See how I get in trouble? Because I just don't have the natural fear of things. Because I have seen heaven move so amazingly that fear thing is so obsolete. See, you're still thinking round and it's supposed to be square. So here's what happened. You got me and her and other people, of course. And there's like 3,000 or 4,000 of these people out there. Because here's what happened. I flew forever. 40 hours. And as soon as we get there, I didn't know it, but she had a meeting. And there was like 5,000 people there. She says to me, "How long before you can preach?" And I look at her. I thought, she must be new here. She don't know I just flew 40-something miles. So I told her, "I'm ready." "Do you know anything else you're going to tell her that'd work?" So I went and took a shower, put on a different shirt, went straight back out there. We preached the gospel. And in the morning at 6 o'clock, prayer time, I heard these things going off. Go out there, we pray, get on an airplane. Now watch. No rest. We never did rest. Got on a bush plane. Do y'all know what that is? I'm a pilot. Figure that. We got in this 206 and flew for 2 hours from Pemba, and we landed in the dirt. We got in a four-wheel drive and drove for 2 more hours to the end of the road. So I was hoping, boy, I hope this is it. Then they put me in a tent with the cobras. Crocodiles and hippopotamus. Those are the most dangerous things on the planet. So that's where we was at. So was these MIT, Brown, Yale, Harvard people. But you see, what you got to understand is, that's my world. It don't matter that the people are black. Everything else is the same. The houses, the terrain, the climate, everything's the same. We have critters nearly the same as those, and so I was okay mentally. Now watch this. We're sitting there, there's thousands of people. And Ms. Heidi, I'm serious, she's out of her mind. She's amazing. She says, "Okay, if you're here and you're blind and deaf, come up here." And so they all come up there, and she says to me, "Pray for him, Brother David." And I looked at her. "Yes, ma'am." Now watch. You got these people from these smart schools hovering there with all the equipment. And they got these computers and all this stuff. And I'm ready to pray for one. Whoa, 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 whoa. So they checked this lady out, and she was deaf and blind. So they sent her over there. "All right, pray for her." Laid my hands on her. Ba-ba! God healed her. And so they said, "Something's wrong with the machine." No, this is true. This is a true story. I'm sitting there. I fly all this way. I'm doing without sleep, food, Miss Hogan, my grandkids, and I got some smart guy telling me this ain't going to go well. So they got another one. They changed the machines. Okay, they're ready. Pray for them. Bang! Instantly healed. The second time they said, "We must not have adjusted the machines right. It's us. We're wrong." And I'm looking at them. Dude, you people are never going to be wrong. So the third one came. I said, "All right, you got your machines right?" "Yes." "You're sure they're blind and deaf?" "Yes." "All right. Jesus' name." And the doc says, "What's this?" "It's really real." Isn't that good? They spent all this money to prove what we already knew. That's easy. You see how easy my life is? It's true. There's so many stories. Just right there within a few minutes, we had six deaf and blind and lame and all that. And then I don't know how many AIDS, lots, hundreds. It's amazing, y'all. So here we are. Ready? Now, I've been talking here for what? 5 minutes? What time did we start, anyway? What time did you start church? Six? Man, y'all must have sung a long